Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Pax et bonum, peace and goodness. On the feast of St. Francis, and with the very words of greeting used by St. Francis himself, welcome to the program. I'm Sister Janet Ferns. The very last words of the little poor man of Assisi were a psalm of praise. During his last moments on this earth, Francis asked for the Gospel of the Last Supper to be read and called for his brothers to share bread in memory of the First Eucharist. Singing the praises of the Lord, Francis died. Throughout the world on the evening of October the 3rd, Franciscans celebrate the death of Francis in a beautiful ceremony known as the Transitus. The following day, in celebrating his feast, they remember his special message, as fresh today as it was 800 years ago. We will close today's programme with our own commemoration of his passing to new life. St. Francis of Assisi is the patron saint of conservation, ecology, and is associated with a deep love of creation. Yet, in our eagerness to preserve the integrity of creation, it can sometimes be forgotten that ancient peoples and customs are disappearing from our world. We will take a look at the Adivasi people of India with Daniela Bessi, an Italian journalist who lived in their midst and learned to love them. First of all, however, we listen to Pope Benedict's message from his weekly general audience.
Before the audience, the Holy Father blessed a statue of Saint Genevieve Torres Morales. Born in Spain in 1870, Sister Genevieve was orphaned at the age of 8 and lost a leg to amputation at age 13 before she went on to found the Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of the Holy Angels, a congregation dedicated to helping the elderly and infirm. One of three sculptures commissioned to represent recently canonized saints who founded religious societies dedicated to assisting the poor and marginalized, the statue is located in a niche in the external facade of the apse of St. Peter's Basilica. During the audience, Pope Benedict continued his series of teachings on the apostles. Today, the Holy Father reflected on the apostle Bartholomew.
The New Testament gives us very little direct information about him. His name is simply included in lists of the 12. However, he is traditionally identified with Nathanael, who was brought to Jesus by Philip at the beginning of St. John's Gospel. When Philip tells Nathanael that Jesus of Nazareth is the one foretold by Moses and the prophets, Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He could not believe that the Messiah would come from somewhere so obscure. Yet we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Nathanael's objection was prejudiced, and it was based, as so often, on incomplete information. This passage teaches us that God often acts in unexpected ways.
Pope Benedict continued to speak about Philip's reply to Nathanael's remark.
Philip's reply is to say, "Come and see." This shows us that while others have a part to play in bringing us to Jesus, we need to discover him for ourselves. Then we will be able, like Nathanael, to make that great profession of faith, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Both elements of Nathanael's statement are important for us. We need to recognize Jesus' unique relationship with the Father, and we also need to acknowledge his place in history. Our Savior is true God and man.
After his catechesis, Pope Benedict greeted pilgrims in many languages, including English.
I welcome the English-speaking pilgrims here today. and I greet especially the Board of Directors of SERA International, the Deacon candidates from the North American College, and the group of new students from the Beda College. I pray that you will respond generously to the call to discipleship that you have received. May God bless you all.
Following the audience, the Holy Father received a delegation from the Bavarian town of Askau am Inn, where the man who would become Pope Benedict XVI first attended elementary school. The delegation conferred upon the Holy Father honorary citizenship. I'm Chris Altieri.
That was Pope Benedict's message from his weekly general audience. From Rome, we now move to Assisi and to India to hear about an ancient people whose lifestyle is endangered. Daniela Bessi, an Italian journalist, lived in the midst of India's Adivasi people and learned to love them.
Francis sought occasion to love God in everything. He delighted in all the works of God's hands, and from the vision of joy on earth, his mind soared aloft to the life-giving source and cause of all. In everything beautiful he saw him who is beauty itself, and he followed his beloved everywhere by his likeness imprinted on creation. Of all creation he made a ladder by which he might mount up and embrace him who is all desirable. By the power of his extraordinary faith, he tasted the goodness which is the source of all in each and every created thing, as in so many rivulets. He seemed to perceive a divine harmony in the interplay of powers and faculties given by God to his creatures, and like the prophet David, he exhorted them all to praise God.
Patron saint of creation, patron saint of ecology. Across the world, people have an image of St. Francis wandering through the fields and the forests, talking to the birds, taming the wolf of Gubbio. St. Francis is associated with all that is beautiful in the creation that he loved. But Francis only loved the creatures because they were reflections of their creator. Of course they had value, but that value is because all living things exist and are kept in existence because of an all-loving God, for whom nothing is too small to be unworthy of love. Just as St. Bonaventure wrote that Francis sought occasion to love God in everything, so he also added that he called all created things his brothers and sisters because they had the same origins as he.
His attitude towards creation was simple and direct, as simple as the gaze of a dove. As he considered the universe in his pure spiritual vision, he referred every created thing to the Creator of all. He saw God in everything and loved and praised him in all creation. By God's generosity and goodness, he possessed God in everything and everything in God. The realization that everything comes from the same source made him call all created things, no matter how insignificant, his brothers and sisters, because they had the same origins as he.
Yet the Francis who sang with the lark was the same Francis who embraced the leper, who exchanged his fine clothes for those of a beggar, and, with his bowl in his hands, asked for food at the hands of others. Francis has long been associated with the environment and with conservation, yet there are parts of the world where not only are forests disappearing, so are the indigenous peoples. There are very real dangers of human beings with a traditional lifestyle that has stood the test of centuries vanishing into history. Daniela Bessi is an Italian journalist who has recently returned from India, where she spent time with the Adivasi. These are some of the indigenous peoples of the subcontinent whose ancient traditions are endangered as mining activities destroy the forests that have been their livelihood.
It's a complete revelation for me to discover that it was an incredibly beautiful, still very virgin region, totally assaulted by the urge of development. In that case, we are talking about mining. simply because that area happened to be the richest area in India in minerals. The 45%, 47% of all the minerals wealth of India are actually still there.
In fact, the situation is becoming more precarious, as Daniela explains.
Nowadays, the situation is getting even worse because after a certain report delivered almost 2 years ago by one of the major merchant banks in England, the McKinsey, where it was underlined the incredible potential of exploitation of this area, and it was suggested that all the mineral companies of the world should invest directly in that area. Orissa and Jharkhand are now the epicenter of this incredible speculation. Not less than 130 memorandum of understanding for licensing the territories where the Adivasi, the tribal people, still live from millennia, are
And how many people are involved?
In the mining?
Yes.
Well, this is a bit difficult to quantify, simply because the 93% of the entire workforce of India is not formalized, so it's very difficult to know exactly how many people work in that area. But just to give you an idea, on a population of 27 million people living in Jharkhand, only the 30% is now tribal, while only 50 years ago it was the 60% tribal and 40% non-tribal, which means that the tribal population is receding fast because the people are forced out from the land and simply forced out from the region. It's not that the mineral companies come with some possibilities of employment because they're not considered up to the standard required for mining. So the very terrible situation is that not only they are possessed by of their territories, forced to migrate, force of migration in cities and so on, and other people come from poorest region, from Bihar, from Uttar Pradesh and so on, to work in the mining sector. But it's very difficult to know exactly how many people work.
Forests are vanishing under the onslaught of mining. Yet, whereas conservationists can become rightly angered by the felling of trees and the destruction of ecosystems, less attention is paid to the people who are also dependent on these ecosystems.
It's not that the mining is a dangerous place, it's simply very invasive. I mean, when a mining company comes, it means that the requirement for thousands of acres of land inevitably pushes out the villages. It's a problem of displacement that is actually going on everywhere in India and everywhere in the world, as we know.
The indigenous communities, over the passage of many centuries, had learned to live in harmony with their environment. They had been the conservationists throughout millennia, and had gained a unique knowledge and understanding of their environment, as Daniela highlights.
Another problem is that traditionally the population, the tribal population of these areas, were relying completely for their living and also for their health to the forest. They are forest people. They are used to bring from the forests everything they need for food, for and including for health. It was very interesting for me to attend to a very interesting conference that was actually organized by a group of Jesuits who work in the south of the region in Chaibasa. They established a very lively tribal resource center. And periodically they host the conferences in different sectors. One of them was about herbal health. And it was a very interesting occasion to see many, many groups of women gathering from different Adivasi tribal areas of India, from Rajasthan, from Gujarat, from Madhya Pradesh, from Maharashtra, from Andhra, from Bihar, from many, many regions. There were no less than 16 different languages, some of them not able to communicate directly, so only through the translation in English, which was the only possibility for me to understand a bit better what was going on. And it was incredible, the amount of expertise and knowledge. They spent one full day in the forest. They came back with a lot of different plants and cuttings and herbs and so on. And they were describing the difficulties of shifting from this traditional system where the forest is receding to a so-called allopathic health system that very often doesn't take in account the custom. For example, in some of the tribals, the delivery is not allowed with the midwife, but only at the presence of the husband. And very often the husband is not up to the job, and very often the wife dies for very stupid reasons.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're all familiar with the magnificent opening sentence of St. John's Gospel. Yet, in a way, as Daniela points out, in the beginning of the world as we know it today, there were also people, a people who are disappearing from the face of the earth that they have cherished and tended.
We really have to learn a lot from them, because for me they are the still contemporary age of an age of man that we assume to be totally past, and instead is there. It's our contemporary. This is the magic of these regions. This is the incredible gift that they can represent for us. I mean, there is an incredible baggage of knowledge that is fantastic. If we go back to the history of the planet, actually, we discovered that millions of years ago, the land itself was, I mean, the whole earth was divided in two blocks, and one was Gondwana, and was actually the congregation of what is now America Latina, Africa, India, and Australia. So it was, and that was all a block. And only later on there was this shifting of continents and so on. So it's interesting to know that still now, in a place in the middle of India, there is a place called Gondwana, and is actually the land inhabited by the Gonds. The Gonds is another name of an important tribe, one of the most ancient tribes in India.
We began with Francis and Bonaventure. Let Bonaventure and Genesis, the book of all beginnings, have the last word.
If you have men who will exclude any of God's creatures from the shelter of compassion and pity, you will have men who deal likewise with their fellow men. God is everywhere, and at the same time, he's nowhere. God is at the end of the road of conformity to Christ and of ecstatic contemplation. But he's also there on the road, close to the one who searches for him, even in the depths of each creature, and especially in our own depths. In everything and in every event, God is present. God is intimately present to his creatures. The earth is sacred. In consequence, humanity should extend ethics and justice to nature, to all peoples who live on the earth. For in destroying the environment, they destroy their own habitat. The goods of creation are not reduced to the economic interests of humanity alone. They are destined for the universal harmony of all beings. God saw all he had made, and indeed, it was very good.
Finally, we celebrate the moment when St. Francis of Assisi passed from life through death to a new life.
You are holy, Lord, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful. You're strong, you're great, you are the Most High, you are Almighty. You, Holy Father, are King of heaven and earth. You are three in one, Lord God, all good. You are good, all good, supreme good, Lord God, living and true. You are love. You are wisdom. You are humility. You are endurance. You are rest. You are peace. You are joy and gladness. You are justice and moderation. You are all our riches, and you suffice for us. Your beauty, your gentleness. You are our protector. You are our guardian and defender. You are our courage. You are our heaven and our hope. You are our faith, our great consolation. You are our eternal life, great and wonderful Lord, God Almighty, merciful Savior.
The touch of Jesus, how it burned, and how sweet the sensation of this love in its searing penetration. Francis lay upon the cold ground of his hut at St. Mary of the Angels and felt nothing but the touch of Jesus in his feet and hands and side. He would die with the brothers witnessing the way a traveller with Jesus dies. Poor, broken in body, radiant in the light of the Spirit glowing from his eyes and from the marks of Jesus' touch. And the peace of his departing would seal for them the genuineness of their own vocations as lesser brothers of the Lord. To be real at the end. In that, the brothers would be sure that they were also authentically on the road with Jesus. They need only persevere as Francis had, and Christ himself would touch them with his perfect peace. He looked around the hut and prayed for everyone he saw dimly standing above him, and for the Lady Clare and her sisters. The dream was theirs. The journey lay before them. Francis was suddenly shaken from his reverie by the voices of his brothers praying over him. How long had he been lost in memory of the dream and of the journey? It did not matter, for Sister Death was surely at hand. He scanned the blurred faces of the brothers, one by one, loving them with his blindness as he had with his eyes. Then he asked Brother Elias to strip him of his habit so that he could die totally poor on the ground. Brother Elias did as Francis had requested, but then he put another habit on Francis, saying in that authoritative voice that only Brother Elias used, "Father Francis, I am lending you this habit in holy obedience. You have no right of ownership over it, so I forbid you to give it away or to remove it from your body." Francis was ecstatic. Lady Poverty had sent Brother Elias to him at the very end to deprive him of his own will once more, and still to let him keep faith with his desire to die with nothing of his own on his back. Now, as he lay on the cold ground, the final joy shot through his whole body. He would die now like Jesus, his brother and Lord, poor and clothed only in a borrowed habit. He was glad he couldn't rise, for he did not deserve to be lifted up in death as Jesus had been treed and flung up against the bare sky of Jerusalem. He would die flat on his back, his hands gripping the dirt floor, waiting for Jesus to come to him. Images of Elijah drifted through his mind. He saw the prophet stretched out upon the widow's son, breathing life into the boy. In Francis's mind, the two figures of boy and prophet melted into one another. He hoped Jesus coming to him would be like that. They would melt into one another, limb to limb and wound to wound, and Francis would rise completely in Jesus, flesh of his flesh, and his journey would be ended, and he would be himself. Lost in Jesus, he would still be Francis, but he would also be eternally one with his divine lover. The brothers were all weeping now and praying aloud. But Francis neither saw nor heard. His blind eyes were transfixed, watching the man of the dream approach him. "Now, little one, Sparrow, I am here." And the Lord bent down to Francis. But all that the brothers saw was Francis, half rising and leaning forward, his eyes closed, a radiant smile on his face. He seemed to hold a precious gift in his hands. Then he eased back onto the ground and let the lightness of that gift rest upon his heart. And he died in the Lord.
My eyes are blind, and yet I see. Behold, my heart, the mournful gaze of those beloved who sadly hold a patient vigil till my form in lowly nakedness return to earthy home. From dust to dust, at deathly portals pausing, muse a while, review the pebbled paths we trod in search of godly ways, the sacred times of laughter, song and prayer we shared and loved as one. As one, our dreams, our days, our lives, our hours of black despair when faith, as timid heart, had fled, but not to realm untouched, secure and free from deadly foe. The costly garb of early days we gladly shed, embracing tattered simple robes of poverty. A beggar's road we singing trod with gladsome hearts, as fools for Christ we wandered hill and dale, to rest our weary limbs, no downy cot, nor choicest foods to whet the pangs of hunger's rage. A rocky pillow, earthen bowl of scraps, bestowed at hands of those who'd supped and wanted not. Our path was hard, its humble burden light. As kingly heralds bore, we hope, the peaceful tidings. Cast away the gilded bonds that fasten hearts and halt unfettered rise towards their heaven's final goal. Repent the chains you painful forged in toil of joyless hours, and sin no more. But now, with ancient sickle raised, advancing time with steady pace, a mortal harvest reaps. And I must bless and bid adieu to all I leave behind, the troubadours of ragged robes and rugged robes, the heralds of eternal king. To meet my regal lord I go. His gentle call has urged me home, and I with fond remembered load present account of earthly days, of life in willing service spent, of singer now become a song. A beggar, noble knight espoused, in love to pauper's noble maid. Of lesser brothers, I the least. O God, 'tis Francis coming home.
And so we come to the end of our programme for today. You can hear it all again in whole or in its parts if you go to our website at vaticanradio.org and click on English. I am Sister Janet Ferns. Until we meet again, may God bless you.
Laudator Jesus Christus.